All right, our first presentation is entitled Enhanced Efficacy of HPPD Inhibiting Herbicides for Annual Grassy Weed Control. M.T. Elmore, J.T. Brosnan, and G.K. Breeden. M.T. Elmore presenting.
Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Henry. Today I'm going to start with a quick introduction, and then I'll get into presenting the results of two experiments, and then wrap that up with a conclusion. Now, mesotrione and tetramethrin are two hydroxyphenylpyruvate dioxygenase, or HPPD, inhibiting herbicides. Tetramethrin is not registered for use in turf grass, but is commonly applied and has good efficacy against a broad spectrum of turf grass weeds at 18 to 27 grams per hectare. Mesotrione is registered for use in cool season turf grass at rates up to 280 grams per hectare. After application, researchers in 2007 and 1999 found that mesotrione and tetramethrin are phloem translocated to the apical meristem after application. It is here in the apical meristem where they're most active in inhibiting carotenoid production and causing bleaching, as seen in the picture here. Now, supporting this research, Goddard et al. In 2010 found that mesotrione preferentially bleaches the newest leaves in a crabgrass plant. And mesotrione does have efficacy against crabgrass, especially when the crabgrass is under the two-tiller stage. However, as was reported by Dernodin and Fu in 2008 and Giese et al. In 2005, efficacy of mesotrione is greatly reduced on larger crabgrass plants, especially greater than the two-tiller stage, like the one pictured here. The efficacy is greatly reduced as these plants increase in size. Now, if we were able to increase the efficacy of these herbicides to crabgrass at larger tiller stages, it would be a great benefit to turf grass managers. And Cathcart et al. In 2004 found that redroot pigweed pictured here on the left, which is a common weed of row crop production, they found that when they subjected redroot pigweed to a high nitrogen regime, it was much more easily controlled by mesotrione than when it was subjected to a low nitrogen regime. Now, they did not find these same results with velvet leaf, which is pictured on the right, and that suggests that this nitrogen response is species-specific. Brosnan et al. In 2010 found that when they applied nitrogen at the time of flazosulfuron application, control of POA annua was greatly enhanced. This led us to replicated field research in 2010 and 2011 in Knoxville, where we found that nitrogen greatly enhanced the activity of mesotrione on 3 to 5 tiller crabgrass. Not really going to get into these results for the sake of time, but you can see from the picture here where we did not apply nitrogen on the left side of the slide that there still is a great amount of crabgrass remaining, and then on the right side, plenty of voids in the turf grass canopy when we applied nitrogen, and those voids are created as crabgrass was controlled. So this led us to experiments. We saw up to 30% increase in control from applications of nitrogen as low as 25 kilograms per hectare 8 weeks after treatment. So this led us to dose response experiments in the greenhouse, where the objective of these experiments was to evaluate the response of smooth crabgrass to various rates of mesotrione and tetramethrin with or without nitrogen fertilizer. To do this, we seeded crabgrass into 10-centimeter pots filled with sequashy silt loam soil, blended in a 3-to-1 ratio with a calcined clay. We allowed these crabgrass plants to grow to the 3-to-5 tiller stage, and then we thinned the plants to contain 5 plants per pot. At this time, we applied mesotrione and tetramethrin. Mesotrione on the left side here was applied at rates from 70 to 1,120 grams per hectare, and tetramethrin on the right side was applied at rates from 4.5 to 72 grams per hectare. We applied nitrogen at 0 or 49 kilograms per hectare to the pots via 10 milliliters of urea-containing solution. This formed a 2x6 factorial treatment design, and the pots were arranged in a completely randomized design. We had 4 replications, and then we repeated this experiment in time to make 2 runs. The analysis of variance was conducted in SAS, and we rated visual control 4, 7, 14, and 21 days after treatment. We also measured above-ground biomass 21 days after treatment. I'm only going to present results from 21 days after treatment today for the sake of time. We also determined the I-50 value, or the amount of herbicide required to provide 50% visual crabgrass control. We then put this into an equation proposed by Seifelt et al. In 1995 and ran a log logistic regression analysis in PRISM, and we also tested these results using a lack of fit F-test in PRISM. So here's the responses 21 days after treatment. Here's the ANOVA. You can see that nitrogen, herbicide, and rate all affected smooth crabgrass visual control and biomass. I'm not really going to talk about biomass today, other than to say the results were very similar to those seen in the visual data. Here's an example of untreated plants 21 days after treatment. These plants did not receive herbicide, and you can see that nitrogen caused a great effect on the growth. If we look at the crabgrass plant on the left side, a great effect on growth, especially compared to the image on the right side, which is the plant that did not receive nitrogen. Now looking at mesotrione here at 560 grams per hectare, we can see nitrogen greatly enhanced the visual control of crabgrass here. That would be this image, comparing that to no nitrogen, where we did not see as much control. Now graphically, here are those regression results. Visual control here is on the y-axis, and mesotrione rate is on the x-axis in a log scale. So if we look at the regression line of nitrogen-treated plants, that would be represented by the dotted line. And compare that to the regression results of the plants that did not receive nitrogen, as represented by the solid line. We can see a big difference, especially if we look and calculate that I-50 value. We can see a big difference there in the amount of herbicide required to provide 50% control. By simply adding nitrogen, we reduced the amount of mesotrione required to provide 50% crabgrass control by over 65%. From 529 grams per hectare to 169 grams per hectare. Results were similar for tapramazone. Again, visual control here on the y-axis, and this time tapramazone is on the x-axis, again in a log scale. Regression results for nitrogen-treated plants represented by that dotted line and non-nitrogen-treated plants represented by the solid line. And again, a big difference in control here when we added nitrogen. And if we look at that 50% control, again, we can see a big difference here. Again, by applying nitrogen at the time of herbicide application, we've reduced the I-50 by over 50% from 43.4 grams per hectare to 20.2 grams per hectare. So we wanted to investigate this a little further, and looking at the research of Mathilla et al. In 2008, they found that velvet leaf subjected to a high nitrogen regime actually translocated more glyphosate than low nitrogen plants to the apical meristem, and this is what they attributed to the increase in control. So we wanted to investigate the leaf response of smooth crabgrass following mesotrione and tapramazone application, so we started another experiment in the greenhouse where the objective of this experiment was to evaluate the response of smooth crabgrass leaf tissue when mesotrione was applied with mesotrione and tapramazone were applied with or without nitrogen fertilizer. And plant culture here was very much the same as in the previous experiment, except that we used 20 centimeter pots this time, and we left 8 plants per pot at the time of herbicide application. Now you'll notice from the image here, something that we did differently was we marked each crabgrass plant. We marked the leaves present at the time of application, and this would aid in future separation of leaves that emerged after the herbicide application, as opposed to the leaves that were present at the time of the herbicide application. Again, we applied nitrogen at 0.49 kilograms per hectare, this time with 20 milliliters of urea-containing solution. And we applied mesotrione at 280 grams per hectare, or tapramazone at 18 grams per hectare. This formed a 2x2 factorial treatment design, and pots were again arranged in a randomized complete block design with 4 replications and 2 runs over time. The analysis of variance was conducted in SAS again. And this time we harvested plants 10 days after application. At this time we separated those leaves that were marked from those that were not marked. We separated those from the stem tissue, and we counted the number of old and new leaves. We measured the weight of these leaves, and we also visually evaluated percent necrosis of these leaves on a 0 to 100% scale. At this time, we also froze the leaf tissue on liquid nitrogen and later extracted chlorophyll and carotenoid pigments according to previously published methods. So here's a look at the old new leaves after herbicide application. You can see, very similar to the results of Goddard et al. 2010, that the old leaves do not exhibit nearly the same response when we compare that to the new leaves in the lower right corner, where there's plenty of bleaching and necrosis from these new leaves that emerged after the herbicide application. Here's an analysis of variance from 10 days after treatment, and this is only the new leaf data. There was no old leaf data were non-significant, so I will not present those today. This is just new leaf data 10 days after treatment. You can see that nitrogen and herbicide both had an effect on necrosis, total chlorophyll, and total xanthophyll cycle pigments, and those xanthophyll cycle pigments are carotenoids that are very essential in photoprotection. So here's a look at plants 10 days after treatment. These are topramazone-treated plants. You can see the plants on the left side of the image that were treated with nitrogen. A big increase in control again here, very similar response to the previous experiment, comparing that to the no nitrogen treated plants on the right side of the image. If we get a closer look at those new leaves, those are the leaves we're interested in right now, we can see that when no nitrogen was applied, there was a pretty great deal of leaf bleaching, however, not a great deal of necrosis, especially when we compare that to new leaves of nitrogen-treated plant, topramazone-treated plants that receive nitrogen application. Where here, there's also a great deal of bleaching, but you can see a lot more necrosis there. And graphically, this can be represented here. Allow me to set up this slide as the next two will follow a similar format. On the left side of the image here, we have mesotrione-treated plants with and without nitrogen, and on the right side, we have topramazone-treated plants with and without nitrogen. Percent necrosis is on the y-axis here, again, that 0 to 100% scale. And we can see that when we apply nitrogen to both mesotrione and topramazone-treated plants, there was a big increase in that new leaf necrosis when we apply nitrogen. The increases were greater with topramazone, however. Here's total chlorophyll, the same setup with total chlorophyll on the y-axis, total chlorophyll concentration of those new leaves. We're again, here, not a difference when we apply nitrogen. Not any greater reduction when we applied nitrogen with mesotrione-treated plants. However, with topramazone-treated plants, there was a big decrease in chlorophyll concentration when we apply nitrogen. Similar results for total xanthophyll. Here we have total xanthophyll pigments on the y-axis. No decrease in xanthophyll cycle pigments for nitrogen-treated plants with and without nitrogen, but there was a big decrease, over 50%, when we apply nitrogen to topramazone-treated plants. So to conclude, we saw a big increase in control in those dose-response experiments when we apply nitrogen at the time of mesotrione or topramazone application. And then we also saw a great decrease in total chlorophyll concentrations when we apply nitrogen to topramazone-treated plants, and this resulted in an increase in necrosis of those newest leaves. So for future research, we'd like to directly investigate maybe using a radiolabeled herbicide to find out that if we are actually seeing more phloem translocation of these herbicides to the apical meristem when we apply nitrogen. We also want to investigate whether nitrogen source has an effect on control and whether the timing of that nitrogen application relative to the herbicide application is important. So with that, I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Brazen, the rest of my committee members, Dr. Brandon Horvath and Dr. Dean Copsell, Greg Breed, and the rest of the turfgrass team at Tennessee. With that, I will take any questions. Any questions? We have time?
Any questions?
Yes.
Did the label say anything about adding nitrogen when applying these products?
The question is, did the label say anything about adding nitrogen to these products? To the best of my knowledge, the labels do not say anything about nitrogen. Yes? Yes. Yes. So the question is, we applied nitrogen with a syringe. Was that targeted to the soil? And yes, it was.
Do you think there'd be any difference if the plant was a target
Do you think there'd be any difference if the product, if the nitrogen was foliar applied? There is a lot of research with mesotrione, particularly that if you apply urea ammonium nitrate more as a surfactant at a lower rate, then you'll actually see a slight increase in control. because you get more herbicide absorption. At the rates we were looking at, 49 kilograms per hectare, that might be a lot to foliar apply nitrogen. So I'm not really sure how that would influence the results, but certainly previous research has shown that foliar applications of nitrogen does increase control. Yes? The question is, does the inclusion of nitrogen increase the potential to damage desirable turf grasses? Our hope that was with soil applying the nitrogen, that would be similar to, you know, just a typical nitrogen application as part of a cultural management regime so that it wouldn't cause any injury. Now, if you're looking at a cool season grass in the middle of the summer in the transition zone, that might not be a great time to put down that much nitrogen, but more northern climates, I think that would probably not cause too much injury.
Let's thank our speaker. Mm-hmm.